we're going to jump into the message in just a moment, but obviously I think we're pretty aware this world has been and can be a pretty scary place. And in light of the events that have gone on this last week over in Ukraine and with Russia, it's gotten kind of a scary place. One of the reasons why we need to come together at times like this and seeing how great is our God, recognize that he's God and we're not, he's still in control. But you know, when you look through the New Testament, when there were times when the church was experiencing difficult circumstances or fearful times, one of the first things they did was they gathered together for prayer. And so I'd like us, before we jump into the message today, just corporately to come together for a time of prayer, praying over the situation that's there for leaders involved. We have missionaries that we support over in Ukraine, and there are lots of people that are trying to help that be a more godly place. Want to pray for them, families that are kind of being torn apart right now, and then our own military, who are going to be probably over there soon as well. So that's going to impact our families and people here in the midst of that. And we might not be able to do much, but we can pray. It's one of the things we really can do. And then we'll talk about another way we can help too after that prayer. But I just want to spend just a couple moments of quiet time in prayer for you to speak to the Lord, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here before you this morning because we acknowledge how great you are and that this is your world. You are sovereign over it all. And so in that spirit and with that mind, we come and just want to ask and beseech you for you to cover what's taking place in this world. We don't know what it could go to or what could happen, but we want to pray that your hand would be a part of everything that happens, from the decisions that leaders of governments are making, Father, to covering over the families whose lives are being torn apart, and to those that are fighting in the military, some who don't even know why they're there, others that are going to be sent, and again, the impact that it will have. Pray that you would cover through that in the way that only you can, meeting needs, guiding, protecting, reminding people that you are the one who is in charge, who loves us all, and who can provide and care for us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. So we ask that you would heal nations and heal hearts and heal lives in the midst of this. And we pray that we will not fear what man can do, but we will trust in you and put our faith there firmly. So guide us, Father, in that. And all of these things we lift up to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would want to just encourage you to continue to pray. Some of you may be motivated or want to help financially, and there's a lot of ways that you can do that. One that I would encourage you, because I know the money will go there, we support a mission called IDES, International Disaster Emergency Services. They've already spoken to people in the Ukraine and are aware of situations that need to be taken care of, and so you can give online if you want to. Just go to IDES.org/donate, and you can help out. I would encourage anybody who feels compelled to help in that way. Well, we want to welcome those that are joining us online today. Thank you for inviting us into your home for these few moments, as well as welcoming those that are joining us on our Westside campus. Glad that you're a part of our church family, and welcome you here today. As we get started this morning, would it be okay if I shared one of my weaknesses with you today? Would that be okay? I hope so. And so, all right, here is my weakness. I have the potential to be a very bad listener. Any of you guys kind of relate to that? I have the potential to be a very bad listener. The reason I know that is because my wife, Diane, and I will have been married this year 40 years. And marriage does give you an opportunity to learn how good of a listener you are. And one of the places where I really kind of mess up, I can be sitting next to Diane on a couch watching TV, and I'm so focused on what's happening on the TV, she's actually talking to me, and I'm not hearing a word that she is saying. And what I've noticed is that once she actually gets my attention, it's then my responsibility to listen to her. And so sometimes I have to do some very important things, like put the remote on mute so that's not making any noise. I was telling her the other day, I said, I wish there was a mute on the screen. I don't really want to turn it off and on, but I sure would like to just blank the screen. That would help me. And the reason I mention that is because today we're going to be looking at how we're all responsible for how we listen to Jesus in order to hear what he's saying to us. We're responsible. That's what we're going to find out. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. And so if you have your Bible or want to grab one from the chair in front of you, you're welcome to do that. Or you have your smartphone or your tablet, you can do that. It'll also be up on the screen. Just a reminder that we are working our way through the book of Mark in a study called Eats with Sinners. And it's not really an in-depth dive into it, but it's an overview study that's actually going to lead us up to Easter Sunday. Now, the reason we're calling this series Eats with Sinners is because when you take a look at the life of Jesus, you recognize that he interacted with people in a way that was different from any other religious leader in his day. Because to Jesus, it really didn't matter who you were or what you had done. If you had time for Jesus, he had time for you. And you need to know it's the same thing today. Jesus offers forgiveness to everyone, but not everyone is going to be forgiven. There's a requirement, and Jesus only forgives the sin of those who are self-confessed sinners, who are willing to acknowledge their sin and their need for God in their lives. Now, unfortunately, that message of unconditional love and forgiveness, that's not always the message that the church delivers. Because just like it was back in Jesus' day, it's easy for churches to drift back into a legalistic mindset. And so I just want to apologize, because for far too many churches and far too many sermons, what's often communicated is God's good, you're bad, so try harder. And that's not really what should be the message of the church, because trying harder is not going to make anybody better or acceptable to God. He loves us already in our sinful condition, and we have to be willing to admit that in order for us to be in relationship with him. Well, last week, if you remember, we were given this picture of Jesus teaching by a lake. And this week, what we're going to find out is Jesus is back at the lake, but the crowds have grown so much this time that he actually, in order to teach, has to get in a boat because the crowds kept pressing in on him. And so we're going to jump into Mark chapter 4, starting with verses 1 through 3. Keep your Bible open or whatever there, because we're going to be reading more, but we're going to start with the first three verses. Here's what it says. Again, like I said, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and it was called the Sea of Galilee, but it's really just a large lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he actually got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Now, this next part is really what we want to take note of here today. It says he taught them many things by parables. And we're going to explain a little bit more about what that means. And in his teaching, he said, listen. Now, I think he was hoping they were listening to him before that, but he was getting ready to say something that they needed to give their attention to. They needed to listen. And what Jesus said next, I don't think that is exactly what they were expecting this biblical, theological teacher to say. Because what did he say? A farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, he's about to share a parable. And you don't need to raise your hand, but is there anyone here who really enjoys poetry? I got to confess, me, not so much. I'm just not very good at poetry. I remember in school, our teacher would give us a poem, and the poems were sometimes, just a little strange, and we would have to read the poem, and the teacher would say, explain what this means. And I'm like, I don't have a clue what this means at all. And so I just say that because I think I can understand at least a little how the disciples felt. Now, Jesus told a story that was pretty clear. And so fortunately, the parable that we're going to be discussing today is one that I personally can identify with. And that's because growing up, I spent most of my summers on my uncle's dairy farm up in now near Longmont, Colorado. And so I've planted wheat and I've irrigated corn and I've harvested crops. So I know a little bit about what that looks like. So when I hear Jesus say, a farmer went out to sow his seed, there's a little bit of a picture that pops into my mind and hopefully into yours, because I think it's still a very applicable and timeless illustration, because until Christ comes, we are going to be planting and harvesting food from the soil. The problem that we have today is it's just we have developed such efficient agricultural methods that one farmer can now feed dozens of people. So many people that really most of us are not all that familiar with how our food is grown and produced. And so just wanted to give you a little insight here. I found a meme that I thought would be very helpful for people who grew up in the city. And for all those who live in the cities and never seen this, this is what a cow egg looks like. I know it's really bad, and I hope you know I'm just kidding. There really is a reason why the question was, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's not the cow or the egg. But we're going to talk a little bit this morning about agriculture, and Jesus was using this thing called a parable. Now, a parable was really a word picture of a spiritual truth. And so it allows for us to visualize some things in our mind to communicate a spiritual truth. Now, you know what they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so the purpose of a word picture is actually to paint a picture in your mind that is both meaningful and memorable. In other words, it gives you a picture that you can connect with and then one that's easy to remember, because parables offer a familiar context for what's being communicated that provides some understanding, and it's easy to remember. And so just to give you a little bit of a picture before we actually get into the story, he said a farmer went out to sow his seed. Here's a picture of what that could look like. Now, from here on out, we're just going to look at the words, but I would like you, if you could, to think about how that actually would be played out in real life. And so we get to verse 4, and it says, "And as this farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up." So just kind of picture that. And then it says, "Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root." And I think most of us have seen a withered plant that we could visualize. Then it says, "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and they could not bear any grain. Then still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, sometimes multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown." Now, when you hear that story, think, wow, when seed finds the right soil, it can produce incredible results. But if it doesn't end up in the right soil, the results are not so good. And I actually got to live in Iowa for about 10 years where there's lots of corn and beans, and I saw the incredible crops that can be produced when they're in good soil. Now, again, this is a parable. It's a word picture. And Jesus actually told over 40 parables in his ministry. They comprise actually about 1/3 of his recorded teaching. So he used them quite often. And then we know in this Mark chapter 4 that after providing an explanation of why he used parables, he then actually offered an explanation of this parable himself. And so let's go ahead and read in Mark 4, going back to verse 14, part B. And here's where he starts to say, here's what I'm really talking about. The farmer sows the word. It's not seeds, but it's actually the word of God. And he says, some people are like the seed along the path. When the seed is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown in them. And so that actually is saying what happens to people. The word of God comes to their heart, but Satan takes it away and they don't experience anything. Others, like seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, in other words, there's never been a connection made, they only last a short time. And then when trouble comes or because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, they hear the word, but then the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things actually comes in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful. And then in verse 20, others, like seed sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it or receive it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. See, when the word of God lands in a prepared heart, there will naturally be a very productive result. Now, in Mark 4:11, and that was in between the explanations, it's interesting what Jesus said. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." Now, that might sound at first glance like Jesus was trying to conceal his message so that only those who knew the code could understand. But I want you to recognize a parable is not some kind of secret code, but rather a contemplative expression of spiritual truth. Jesus was not at all trying to keep people out as much as he was seeking to determine who really wanted in, who had a desire to really listen. See, I hope we recognize parables aren't obstacles as much as they are tests. They're a little test that says, are you going to dig a little bit deeper? And we know that because Jesus makes a very interesting statement in verse 9 of Mark 4. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, as I'm kind of scanning the room today, apart from women who have hair hanging over that part of their body, it looks like most of you have ears that you could hear. In fact, what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you right now and just say to them, "You have ears so you can hear if you want to." Okay, go ahead. Turn to the person next to you. "You have ears so you could hear if you want to." For some of you, that just felt good to get that off your chest, didn't it? It's like, whew, I've wanted to say that. But think about that. Why would Jesus say that? Well, he would say it because to really hear what he was saying is going to require listening on a deeper level and a deeper level of understanding. See, obviously, Jesus' story wasn't intended to be a commentary on agricultural methods. That wasn't what he was talking about. Rather, it was intended to be a description of the condition of people's hearts and their receptivity to the Word of God, how they incorporated the Word of God into their lives. And so the best definition of listening that I've ever come across is this: listening is wanting to hear. When you really listen to somebody, you'll listen because you want to hear what they would have to say. Now, having said that, I thought I probably should acknowledge that there are some possible reasons why you may not want to listen to what God has to say. You may not want to listen to what Jesus has to say. And probably the first of those I would just to say a lot of people are just uninterested. They don't really think it applies to them or that there's any meaning or purpose for them. And when I think about people not listening because they're uninterested, the one picture that I get in my mind is what happens every day before an airplane leaves the gate. And what is that? Remember, the stewardess stands up and says, "Would you all listen to the safety instructions that I'm about to give?" And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I honestly tune them out. And I've looked around a plane and it looks like a lot of other people tune them out. Why is that? Because they're not interested. I guess they're kind of hoping that that's never ever going to happen to them. But hopefully we've heard it enough times that if it does, we'll just remember. But a lot of times we really don't listen because we're uninterested. Another reason we might not listen is because life's working okay. I mean, we're getting along, we're kind of getting by, things could be better, things could be worse. But God did set this world in motion, and if we really want to, we could say we don't need God. It's not our ultimate reality, but God provides everything we need, and so people might say, hey, life is working okay. A third reason people might not want to hear is because they would just say it's too unbelievable. I mean, the things that they're saying Jesus was doing, he was healing the sick and raising the dead and calming storms, that's impossible. I just want to remind you, if you do believe that there is a God who ultimately created the world and the universe from nothing, if he wanted to do a few miracles, that would actually be pretty simple compared to actually creating them. Another reason you might not want to hear is that you didn't like what had been heard before. As human beings, we've literally been known to ignore what the Bible says when it tells us what we don't want to hear, something we would rather not hear. Another reason why you might not want to listen is you don't want to feel judged. That's not comfortable at all. Let me just say, Jesus, fortunately, was honest enough to always tell people the truth. He didn't beat around the bushes. He was honest. Another reason you might not want to hear is you don't want to give up your autonomy. Because one of the things you're going to have to recognize, I'm going to have to give authority in my life to someone, either myself or someone else, or to God. And we don't want to do that. We like to do things the way we want to do them. In fact, a number of years ago, I got to lead a funeral service for really a civic leader in the town where I was at. But I was a little bit surprised because the song they played at or had sung at his funeral was, "I Did It My Way." And I thought, wow, I don't know if I'd want to, you know, get ready to go to see God having done it my way. But you know what? Honestly, there's a lot of people who want to do life their way. And so if you don't want to answer for how you live your life, then you might really want to ignore what Jesus has to say. And then finally, number 7, you just don't trust God. And I know it can be hard to trust God. If you or I had expectations that God didn't meet, or if I haven't really made any effort to get to know who he really is, then I may struggle with trusting God. So I hope what you're sensing in all of this is, the point of the parable of the sower is, you decide how much of the truth you want to hear and receive. You decide how much of the truth you want to hear and receive. That really is up to you. Now, God, if you have the Holy Spirit, he's going to help you with that, but that is your decision. And that's because you're the one who has control over the access of your heart. You decide what it's going to absorb or not. That's what the parable was trying to teach. And I think Jesus told parables to cause some rumination or some thought in order to provide some illumination. We got to think about this, and then hopefully the light bulbs will go on. See, Jesus knew that his parables were going to force us to think a little bit harder about spiritual things. And he wanted us to learn to be able to do our own thinking. Now, he's going to help us in that, just like he did in Mark chapter 4. In verse 34, it says, "He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything, but not until he'd given them a chance to think about it." See, parables require the intentional work of examination. What's the message of the story? And then some contemplation. What could it really mean? And so Jesus used parables in order to provide a context for deeper understanding. But let's face it, I'll be honest with you, parables, I've come across some that are a little bit confusing. They're just hard to understand. Maybe even a little bit frustrating because I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm not getting it. And why is that? Well, honestly, it's because there's something in me that would kind of like truth just to be handed to me without me really having to think much about it or do much about it. And not because I expect it to be handed to me on a silver platter, but I don't want to really have to do the work to understand it. And see, parables cause us to do a little mental work for it. Now, fortunately, we have Jesus' explanation, like the parable of the sower, of some of the parables, but not all of them. And so I think he gave us examples so that we could say, hey, I think I'm getting what Jesus is going at, but he still wants us to learn how to think. And so let me just remind you that when you want to come and hear what Jesus would say, listening to Jesus is going to require some active listening. And if you're passive and you're listening to Jesus, there's probably a lot that you're going to miss. Jesus spoke in parables so that we would have to listen to the details as we visualize it. And that's because a parable really is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning and application. And so Jesus would try to give that to the disciples, and oftentimes they would simply miss it. One example of that would be in Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to notice what it says. When they went across a lake and they were always going back and forth, the disciples, and Matthew includes this detail, they forgot to take bread. And it enters into the story because Jesus said to them as they're going across, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, do you think he was concerned about them consuming bread? Really? Not at all. In fact, the disciples kind of missed that. It says they discussed among themselves and says, "Did he say that because we didn't bring any bread?" And the answer was no. Jesus was actually giving them a word picture. You put a little yeast in the dough, and pretty soon it can spread throughout the entire thing. The word picture concerning the danger of them accepting the teaching of the Pharisees. Now, you have to have active listening to hear that. And so passive listening with Jesus will often cause us to miss the message. Listening to Jesus is going to require some mental effort. And so Jesus in his parables is saying, think about what I'm saying. What does this mean spiritually? After me hearing me talk about the kingdom of God in this way, what is that saying about God's kingdom? And this type of listening and understanding is going to take some work and effort. You're going to have to apply your brain. Understanding doesn't just happen. Now, let me just say right now, and all of you look fairly attentive, but there are those of you who are either paying close attention, are engaged with what God is saying or wanting to say to you right now, or you're thinking about other things. Where are we going for lunch after church? But you know what I'm so thankful for? There's a lot of people here who every Sunday listen to sermon after sermon. And they honestly are like the deer who thirsts after water, or like the person who's searching for a valuable lost coin. And so their ears are wide open, and they're wanting to hear from God, and they're ready to hear from God. And hopefully that's how you arrive every week. Now, I got to be honest, preaching is kind of hard because you really want to challenge people. And I hope I've gotten better over the years. In fact, I've thought a lot of times, I wish I could go back to the churches I served when I was younger and kind of apologize to them for having to endure all those sermons that I gave all those years. I don't know, maybe I should still be apologizing. But one of the people I'll never forget in one of those early churches when I was young was a lady by the name of Una McCracken. And she was this godly older woman who had raised sons, who had become pastors and leaders in the church and in the community. She knew the Bible way better than I knew the Bible. But it always amazed me on Sunday when church was over. That was back when the pastor stood at the back of the church and shaked everybody's hand as they left that day. And Una McCracken, and I could always count on her. She would walk by, she'd shake my hand, and she'd say, "Brian, that message was so helpful to me. It was so important to me today. I appreciated it so much." And in my young mind, I was thinking to myself, "You know, I did not tell you anything you did not already know. I mean, you really already know that stuff, but I appreciate how you're wanting to encourage me." But honestly, she was hungry to hear the word of God. She had ears to hear. Now, on the other hand, there are people, honestly, who listen to sermon after sermon with absolutely no intent of applying it. I don't really want to hear what God has to say. And they don't think much about what God is trying to say to them and teach them. And I just got to say, because of that lack of willingness to listen and comprehend, unfortunately, they're probably going to lose what little they have. And I say that because in verse 25 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus makes this very interesting statement. He says, "Whoever has will be given more." If you understand the word, it's going to make more and more sense. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So listening requires active participation. Listening to Jesus also requires asking questions. Now, Jesus would often tell a parable or provide teaching, and then he wouldn't give any explanation. And you know why? Because I think he wanted them to ask a question. And for a good example of that would be one time he was teaching his disciples and he was telling them as clearly as anybody could, "I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to rise from the dead." Now, what's so amazing is I don't know how many times Jesus told his disciples that, but they never made the connection, because when it happened, they were like, "What happened?" And you know what part of the problem was? Is they never asked any questions. In fact, you know what we read in Mark chapter 9, verse 32? When this happened, it says, "But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him, 'Jesus, what are you really saying here?'" Now, why would Jesus do that? Because he knows his genuine followers can be identified by wanting to know the truth. And so what Jesus did was to give parables to a crowd, knowing that there would be those in the crowd whose hearts truly wanted to hear from them. And so they would circle back around and they would ask Jesus questions and try to find answers. And they're represented in Jesus' story by the people who had good soil for hearts. And then there were those who, they didn't stay around to ask any questions. They were only curious, but that's because they were not true disciples or followers. And so the question I would just want to ask you this morning is this: what type of soil is your heart? How do you receive God's word so that you can incorporate it into your life? And the reason this is so important is because listening to Jesus is a good indication of whether one is truly a follower of Jesus. You're not going to listen to him if you're not his true follower. And since Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh, I've got to remind us that the primary means of listening to him today is through what? It's through the Bible. It's through the Word of God. That's how we listen to him. And so if we're going to hear him, we're going to have to spend some time in the Bible. But I got a question in your notes there that I'd like to ask. Why is it easier to do almost anything else than read the Bible? Have you noticed that to be true? I mean, it's easier to do a lot of things than it is to read the Bible. And that's because I think to receive its true value, you have to desire it enough to seek it. See, we're so used, especially in our culture today in 2022, to being entertained that we don't always like to make the effort that's necessary to receive the spiritual nourishment that we're intended to get from God's Word. Now, I got to admit, even as a pastor, for a long time, I read the Bible mostly as a religious duty. I mean, just said, I know that's something I'm supposed to be doing, so I better do it. And that almost made me really kind of be resentful to having to do it instead of recognizing its spiritual value. Now, fortunately, I've gotten around that. And so now I actually read the Bible because I know I need it and I want to read it. But I'll say it still remains easier for me to do almost anything else than to read the Bible and really listen to what God has to say so that I can hear it. And so let me just kind of see if we can wrap things up, because I think if you're going to get into God's Word and hear from Christ, you need to recognize that understanding the Bible requires desire and time and exposure and repetition and Spirit-led comprehension. Folks, the Bible is God's Word, and yet many people rarely read it and are unaware of the truths that are found in it. In fact, you know what's true? That a lot of times the only time many people are exposed to the Word of God is when they hear the preacher on Sunday morning. And I would just say, if the only time that you read or listen to God's Word is when you're sitting in a service, your understanding of God's truth is going to remain underdeveloped. Now, I'm glad you're getting some, but if you really want to grow, understanding the Bible, understanding what God wants to communicate with you requires those things we talked about. It requires desire. I need this and I want this, and so that's why I'm going to do it. It requires time. And some of you, if you're not reading at all, set the bar low if you need to start. And I would just encourage you to find 10 minutes a day. Don't you think all of us could find 10 minutes a day and maybe do it in the morning or the noon or the night, but sometime find 10 minutes a day to spend with God. And then it requires exposure, because you don't know what you don't know. And I find a lot of people, sometimes they come across something, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Yes, because you haven't been exposed to it. Then it requires repetition. You have to hear it over and over again. Repetition is the motor of learning. And then Spirit-led comprehension. And it is fine, it is fair, if before you read God's Word, you just ask His Spirit, as the psalmist did in Psalm 119, open my eyes, God, that I might see wonderful things from your law. See, understanding, that's what's so exciting, understanding the truth of God's Word is going to be a lifelong adventure for all of us. I've been studying it for years, and I still am learning new things. And it's why I bet some of you have likely had the experience of reading a passage of Scripture for the umpteenth time, and all of a sudden you see it or understand it in a way you've never seen or understood it before, and you think, wow, how could I have missed that? Well, it's because it took enough time and attention and listening to be able to do that. And one of the reasons for that is what I love about the Bible is what Hebrews 4:12 says. It's because the Word of God, it's not a static book. It's alive and active. It goes on and says, it's actually sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And sadly, that may be what makes us a little uncomfortable with getting into it. But what the parable of the sower is trying to tell us all today, how we listen to Jesus is going to have a major impact on if or how we grow spiritually. It's how we listen to Jesus. We're either going to be like the seed sown on the path or on the rocky soil or on the weedy soil or on the good soil. And so this week, I want to give you just a little assignment. I know that's a bad word, assignment. That sounds like school too much. But I would just encourage you to spend some time this week with Mark chapter 4 and that word picture that Jesus gave us in the parable of the sower, and just kind of let that sink in and spend some time saying, God, what's the condition of my heart when it comes to your word? And then just remind you, in preparation for next Sunday, I'd want you to read Mark chapter 6 and 7, because that's where we'll be next week. Let's pray. Father, in times like these, we need to be able to hear from you, maybe more than any other time. And I pray that you would help all of us have the kind of heart that is ready to be receptive so that the seed of your word can be planted in it, that its truth can take root and can bear fruit in our lives. We so appreciate how you have preserved your word for us, the parables that Jesus taught, the lessons that he gave, so that we can still hear from him even today. But Father, just like in Jesus' day, we really are going to have to listen. We're going to have ears that hear and not just not take to note what you really want to say. So guide us, Father, in that. Help us to listen to you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.